The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Welcome to church. I'm glad you're here. Let me see if I can adjust this a little bit. Is that better? I heard the best story this week. I do too. You don't want to miss this one. It was about a different Episcopal church that, like us, we used to have two services. And so on Memorial Day, the priest brought in photos of those who had given their lives in service to our country. A little boy came up to the priest and said, what's that? And the priest said, well, those are the people who died in the service. And he said, which one, the 8:30 or the 10? No death today, Lord, please. Actress Tina Fey is very busy right now with movies and television endorsement deals. She's written a couple of books. And she got her big break as a comedy writer on Saturday Night Live, eventually becoming the head writer. Now, it's fairly well known and accepted that many comics come from unhappy childhoods. They say that's where they get their humor. But that's not the case for Tina Fey. She had a happy home life and was well loved by her mom and dad. She tells a story about how very early on in her career, they came to see her at work just after she moved to New York City to work for Saturday Night Live. As they were leaving, her mom came over to her, cupped Tina's face in her hands and said, "We are so proud of you," and then left. A coworker who had observed this said, "I don't even know what to do with that." Many children never have a parent express, whether in looks or words or hugs, "You are my dear child," let alone, "I am pleased with you," or "We're so proud of you." We hear those words this morning being said of Jesus. As he was coming up from the waters of baptism, a voice from heaven said, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Even those parents who think this in their hearts are often too tongue-tied or embarrassed to say these kinds of words of endearment to their own children. That's sad. But you know, I get it. Parents work so hard to bring up their kids, civilize them, if you will, so that they're constantly sort of correcting and managing and maybe even scolding, all training, all good stuff. But they don't say those words, perhaps, as often as they should. Theologian N.T. Wright notes that the whole of the Christian gospel could be summed up like this. God says to us what God said to Jesus on the day of his baptism, "You are my beloved. I am pleased with you." God is saying that to us. "You are my beloved." God is saying that right now. It's wonderful to think that God is pleased with us. It is one of the most wonderful foundations to a healthy, fulfilling life. But there's another part to that foundation. It is being pleased with ourselves. Actually, I find it easier to believe that God delights in me than it is for me to be delighted with myself. perhaps we feel like, it's sinful, it's prideful to be proud of yourself, or you're being vain. But I don't think that's true, so long as we don't overdo it. I think it takes modest courage to admit being good at something. Thank you. I am a good violinist. Yes, I am grateful that I can pick up languages quickly. Beyond neglecting to note the worthy aspects of ourselves, way beyond that, we tend to beat ourselves up a good bit. We are our own worst enemies. We all know that. This is because we see ourselves from the inside out, and we know every flaw, the history of every failure, every shortcoming. Often we do not disappoint anyone except ourselves. This kind of chronic disappointment is toxic to good mental health. It's toxic to a happy life. If you feel that's what's motivating you into high performance, please reconsider that. It is, of course, grist for the self-improvement mill. And that's what New Year's resolutions are for. We're here in the first week of the new year. They're good for a good, solid dose of self-improvement. Give up junk food. Go to the gym more often. Write more thank you notes. Don't make impulse purchases. We all have our own lists. And while we need that, self-coaching, self-challenge, we need to be wary of the drive for protection. Not protection, perfection. Perfection is a cruel master. If loving and accepting ourselves is based on how good we are, how well we perform, how much better we are than the next person, then we are flirting with perfection. You can't win that race. Here's a good saying. I've just recently learned this, and I've started to apply it to my own life. It helps to defeat the perfection obsession. Anything worth doing is worth doing poorly. Yeah, I just about blew a fuse when I heard that a few months ago. It's not what our parents taught us, and it's not what we teach our kids. Anything worth doing is worth doing well. The woman who gave me this new insight had an important decision to make and little time to make it. She's a local pastor. She was invited on very short notice to join some other local pastors at the office of one of our congressional representatives. Immediately the stress level goes up when you say anything having to do with Congress, right? I mean, I don't call my congressman. She had never been to a congressman's office before. She'd never lobbied before and had never really wanted to do either of those things. That and the fact that she was completely unprepared on this topic, which is very complex, it was about immigration, gave her more than enough reason to say no. But the issue was important to her, and she knew her presence was important to the other pastors. So she went. Anything worth doing is worth doing poorly, rather than not at all. This new saying is beginning to free me from the tyranny of perfection. Some things are just so worth doing. Even if I'm not perfectly prepared, I don't know all the answers. I don't know what to expect. Another way to deflate perfection obsession lands squarely in the spiritual life. It is, if you want to do it alone, God will let you. If God isn't invited to the party, God won't come. When we don't invite the Holy Spirit intentionally into our lives and into our projects, we're closed off from God. We're flying solo. This is another kind of tyranny. This is tyranny of the urgent. The closer a deadline looms, the more we tend to rely strictly on ourselves. If this is going to get done, it's going to get done by me or by us. We forget God. God is the doer. If you want to do it alone, God will let you. A good place to start with New Year's resolutions and the desire for self-improvement is with God, with the Holy. Invite the Holy into your New Year's resolutions. If you haven't made any, just ask God to bring some to mind or to heart. Self-improvement doesn't have to be a solo job. Invite the Holy One into your projects. Pursue things that matter, even if it means doing something poorly. Because all the while, God is well pleased with us, just as God was well pleased on the day of the baptism of Jesus. Amen.